Maseches Maaseros, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zayin, 1-7. The Mishnah is continuing to define when Gemar Malacha, the completion of the processing, occurs with various foodstuffs. Here in this Mishnah, we'll talk about wine and oil. And again, the nafkamina, the practical implications will be that once Gemar Malacha has been reached, once the finishing of the processing has occurred, so food may no longer be eaten, even awry, even casually, or fed to one's animals, until it is properly tithed. So the Mishnah says, Hayayin, when it comes to wine, mishyikapeh, from when you skim off the top layer of the floating skins and seeds, etc., that are in the cistern that's collecting the wine. So just, you have to understand the setup of a basic wine press to appreciate the rest of this Mishnah here. What happens in super simple terms is you have sort of like in the time of the Mishnah, I'll call it a hole in the ground, essentially a flat trough in the ground where one piles up the grapes and he'll step on them with his feet. The grapes will let out all their juice. The juice will flow down a small little conduit that leads from that upper pressing area, where you tread on the grapes, to a lower hole in the ground, like a cistern, which is a reservoir into which the juice will flow. The upper pressing area is called the Gas HaElyona in our Mishnah, the upper press. The lower reservoir where the juice flows into is called the Gas Tachtona, or the bore, the lower vat or cistern. And the conduit that connects the upper to lower is called the Tzinor, like a conduit, a pipe. So the point of the Mishnah, without getting more technical in terms of the setup of a wine press, is that once the wine has gone into the pit into which it's flowing, it'll sit there for a time and start to ferment. Bubbles will appear, and the bubbles will bring the skins of the grapes up to the surface where they can be skimmed off the top. So the Gemar Malacha, when it comes to producing wine, is when one skims off the top of the collected grape juice, whatever's floating on top there, and then what's left inside the bore, the pit, the cistern, is considered to be wine. That's the Gemar Malacha, meaning prior to bottling, etc. So the Mishnah's main point here is that A, the Gemar Malacha occurs when you skim off the top of what's floating in the bore some days after it's collected there, and B, Mishnah also points out that even after Gemar Malacha, any juice, wine that doesn't make it into that pit remains still permissible to be consumed awry in a casual way. Much like we saw in the previous Mishnah, that even after the Gemar Malacha, when it comes to grain, whatever kernels of wheat manage to avoid being stacked and smoothed back at the threshing field, etc., those kernels could also still be eaten awry. So the Mishnah says inside, Afal pi shekipa, even if you've gone and skimmed off the top of the cistern all the whatever's floating on top there, achieving Gemar Malacha, still kolet min hagas ha'elyona u min hatzinor, you still could collect juice from the upper press where they were treading on the grapes, and the tzinor, the conduit through which that grape juice flowed, v'shosa, and you could drink that wine, grape juice, achilas arai, without tithing it, because it hadn't been collected, and that little bit that missed the processing didn't reach Gemar Malacha. The Mishnah continues to discuss now oil, olive oil. So the setup with olive oil is essential to understand how the pressing works a little bit to understand the Mishnah. The basic idea is that you take olives, you put them inside a container, a yam, and you grind them up. You could do some pressing prior to that, gentle pressing, to get out the virgin olive oil, but after that you'll essentially make a olive paste. If you've ever been to Yerushalayim or anywhere around Israel, you'll see the archaeological sites, those gigantic like stone or concrete discs with a hole in the middle. Usually it's kind of like a squarish hole in the middle. So that was the top, the grinding stone, which sat inside a big basin. And that grinding stone is called the memel. So you would put the olives into the basin, the yam, the big, and then the grinding stone would be moved around in a circle. There'd be a wooden stick coming out of the middle of that big stone that's pulled by, say, a donkey. It makes it go round and round in circles. It grinds up the olives into a paste. You collect the paste, you put it into like a sack. The sack is called an akal, and then you put that sack under like some sort of weights, when there's like a beam that will press down on the sack, the akal, and then oil will ooze out of the paste, getting every last drop, and will flow into something, a collection hole, if you will, a collection area of the oil, called an uka. So the main point the Mishnah is going to make over here is that the Gemar Malach, when it comes to pressing olive oil, is when the oil ends up in that uka, that reservoir at the bottom of the press. But notwithstanding, consistent to the previous cases of grain and grape juice slash wine, any oil that didn't end up in that uka still remains permitted to be consumed, achilas arai. The Mishnah says inside, when it comes to hashemen, olive oil, mishayered la'uka, once it enters into that uka, that reservoir at the bottom of the press, that's the gemar malacha. Afal pisha yarad, and even though it has flowed into the uka, you may notel minha akal. You still could take oil from the sack that was holding the olive paste, umibein ha-memel, and also like there on the cracks and crevices, let's say, of the big stone that's grinding it, as well as the basin, whatever's there. Umibein ha-patsim, in between the wooden slats that are part of the press where the oil gets mixed into. Venosin lechamita ulatamchoy, and you could eat that olive oil. Now, obviously, you don't eat olive oil directly. You're not going to eat it like casserole with a spoon. It's going to make you sick. But you would smear it onto your cracker or into your serving dish. So a chamita is a cracker. And the point of the Mishnah here actually is shifting away from what we said before temporarily. Everything we said stands, that from Gemar Malacha, completing the processing and onwards, that's when Achilas Raya becomes forbidden and tithing is required before consumption. But as we will see as things go on with the Mishnayos, there are other events that could occur, meaning other things that you could do that would be substitutes for the conventional Gemar Malacha. So one of those things is cooking. If you're in the field, but you go and cook your food stuff, even though you didn't bring it home, you didn't bring it to market, you didn't smooth the pile, whatever the story is, it doesn't matter. Once cooking has occurred, the consumption of cooked food is no longer considered to be achilas arai. So our Mishnah here is focusing on that, and the thought is that, let's say you take a hot cracker out of the fire and then apply oil right away, do you have to be concerned that that hot cracker will cook the oil, and that will constitute having cooked the oil, making the oil now forbidden prior to tithing it fully? And the Mishnah is saying, no, it's not a problem. The cracker out of the oven can't cook the oil, and therefore smearing the oil onto the cracker doesn't constitute cooking the oil, which would require then, if it were cooked, to now it would have to be tithed. And same goes for a tamchui. A tamchui is like a soup tureen, like a serving bowl. The idea being that the tamchui never goes in the oven. Basically, it's like you have your crock pot where you make your cholent, and that's the kli rishon. It's cooking. There's a heat element right there, and it's cooking straight on the fire. And then you'll decant. You'll empty out the contents of the crock pot into like a serving bowl, like a soup tureen, the tamchui, and bring that tamchui to the table. It'll be nice and white and, you know, nice clean porcelain serving bowl. So that serving bowl is never a kli rishon. It's always a kli sheni. It never went directly on the fire. It only receives things that had been on the fire. So the point is, in our Mishnah, that a kli sheni is unable to cook oil. And that being the case, if you pour your olive oil into, that was not in the uka, not in the reservoir that had gemar malacha, and you pour it into a serving dish, which is a kli sheni, a tamchui, the tamchui doesn't cook it, and you could consume that oil and the food inside the tamchui with the oil without arai, without tithing that oil. However, we're going to contrast and say, if you put the oil into a kli rishon, something which had been on the fire, meaning like a pot or a pan, so it's a hot pot or a hot pan, even if the pan has been removed from the fire, but if you put olive oil into that pan or into that pot, it's going to cook the oil, and that will be considered to be cooking to the point that you no longer can consume the oil without tithing it. It'll become forbidden to have achilas arai, casual eating of that oil, prior to tithing it fully, even though it never ended up in the uka, never had gemar malacha. So the Mishnah says inside, avalo yiten, but you may not put the oil that you recovered not from the uka, which a minute ago before, as you pull it out of, let's say, between the slats or on the, you know, from on top of the memel, the grinding stone, whatever it is, you could consume that oil without tithing it. But if you put it lekadera, kadera is like a pot, an ilfas like a pan, a lefas is a pan, this is velilpas, you put it into the pan, and those pot or pan had been on the fire, so now it's at least yad so lettuce bowl, it's hot enough to cook. If that's the case, kishen roschin, provided that the pot or pan is hot and is still rosseach, is boiling hot, meaning yad so lettuce bowl hot, something like around 50 degrees Celsius, so maybe a little bit less than that. So then, at that point, the oil is being cooked, and one can only consume the oil in the pot or the pan prior to tithing it properly. Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees with the whole principle, and he says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'chol hu nosen, you could put it into whatever you want, meaning even into a pot or a pan. A kli rishon, provided the kli rishon, the pot or pan, is not on the fire anymore. And he says, a pan that's not on the fire can't cook anymore. So that being the case, the olive oil that goes into it is not cooked and remains permitted to be consumed without tithing it. Chutz medavar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir. The exception, says Rabbi Yehuda, is if inside the pot or pan, which is removed from the fire, there's some food that contains chometz as vinegar and tzir as brine. So those, like vinegar is acidic, it's a catalyst and will facilitate the faster cooking of foods. So if there is vinegar or brine in the pot, so then even if it's off the fire, says Rabbi Yehuda, and it's still hot, you can't put olive oil in. And if you do, the olive oil gets cooked and no longer is permissible prior to tithing.